Proverbs 17:12, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Now, if you think about this for just a second, you realize that this is basically saying you're better off dead. Because if a mama bear robbed of its babies meets you, you're a goner. You've got no way to escape that, really. But it's still better than being subjected to the foolishness of a fool. And when I say subjected to it, that's important here because this presupposes that the fool is determined to destroy you or given the same advantage as the bear and has the ability to do that, the authority or the and the ability to do that because we do business with fools every day. This world is full of fools, but if it's only a passing encounter, then that's better than the bear. But given the same exposure to the fool as to the bear, the same vulnerability, a fool that has the power and the incentive to destroy you, take the bear and be happy with the bear. If you can think of the biggest idiot that you can this morning, and I'm sure some of us will probably think of some of the same people, but think of the biggest idiot in this world that you can think of. And think about how much destruction they've caused to people around them, perhaps an entire nation, because I suspect that some of you probably thought of maybe people like Adolf Hitler or Benito Mussolini, people like that. I thought more recently that the name Nicolas Maduro came to my mind because if you've ever seen pictures of Venezuela just 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, or less, I don't even know, and now, you can see how much destruction one man can do. Just absolute, one of the richest, most vibrant countries in the world turned into a complete wasteland in just a few years. So this is the type of destruction that we're talking about. So when comparing to the bear, you have to think of a fool that has the ability and the incentive, some reason, and they always do, don't they? There's always a reason to do the things that they do to destroy people. And as incredibly disastrous as a fool like that is, there's one thing worse. There's one thing worse than individuals destroying entire countries with their stupidity. And that's a fool in a pulpit. Now, let me immediately qualify that because anyone that stands in a pulpit is a fool. There's no question because we're all a bunch of fools by nature. If left to himself, any man standing in a pulpit especially is a fool. But God doesn't leave his preachers to themselves. That's the thing about it. Evil leaders rely upon lies in order to perpetrate the horrors that they do. They lie to people. But the destructive power of one very simple, believable, innocent-seeming lie from a pulpit is of eternal consequence. It's absolutely of eternal consequence. If you stand in a pulpit, and of course that's figurative, it doesn't have to be physically behind a pulpit. The pulpit represents the authority that God has given a man to speak for him. But there are men behind pulpits that have no authority from God, no understanding of God or his word, and they speak lies. But if a man stands behind a pulpit, so to speak, and in other words, he presumes to speak for God and says God loves everybody, with that one lie, he's destroyed the character of God and the souls of men in one fell swoop. God's character, of course, is not actually destroyed. God is eternal, and he can't be affected by the foolishness of man. But anybody that would say such a thing in the false gospel of that man, the character of God is dissolved. This fool in his folly that we're talking about now, that presumes again to speak for God and tells lies about God, is the absolute worst thing in this world that you can encounter. There's nothing worse. Nothing worse. That's saying a lot, but it's saying it right. It's saying the truth. So listen well. Hear well. If it's not the word of God, remember that if they speak not according to the words of this prophecy, it's because there's no light in them. Many of us have loved ones that have believed their lies. You tell me what could be worse than for someone you love to be deceived about that which is vital, eternally so. Christ died for everybody. It sounds so good, doesn't it? If you don't know him. Christ died for everybody. You just took away every sinner's only sure hope. If the blood of God's Son does not absolutely, eternally, directly, effectually save the sinner for whom it was shed, then no sinner on this earth anywhere has any hope whatsoever. There's no hope for you in heaven or on earth. So today's lesson is very simple and very, very brief. We'll have time left over. We live in a world full of terrors and dangers, but without any doubt, the worst of them is a false preacher. Now you mark my words. We have loved ones sitting and listening to them right now. And it's destroying their very soul. It's not a question of, you know, we know better than them or our opinion is better than their opinion. It's a question of the Word of God. And do you believe on the Son of God? How can they believe on him of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher that God sent? And believe me, I'm just as surprised that God would send me as you are. But that's what he does. He sends men that are such that when you hear the truth of the gospel from their lips, and you see how God uses his gospel in this world, how it's a light shining in darkness. It's life to the dead. You won't be giving any glory to any man. But all the glory is God's. False preacher, the worst thing in this world. Now, the world is also full of those. And we fight them here. We fight them not defensively. We don't sit here and pick apart what they say and tell you how foolish that is. We do so in general terms because the first two things that you'll learn in 99.9% of the churches in this world is that God loves everybody and that Christ died for everybody, and neither one of them's true. And they're not just a difference of opinion. They're basic falsehood that will destroy your soul if you believe it. So we do fight them here, and we disarm them here but with the truth, with the sword of truth, but only for those who believe. And whether you believe or not is God's business. The business that God has given us is a commission to preach His truth, the truth of Christ, who died and redeemed everybody that God loves. That's what love is, according to this book. That Christ gave Himself to be the propitiation for our sins. That's what love is. God's love is in Christ Jesus alone. And don't let anybody tell you any different. God loves His Son and those who are in His Son, those who believe on His Son. And He's loved you long before you ever believed. But we have that commission from Him, and if He's gracious to us, it's what we'll do until we die. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth. How much are you willing to pay for the truth? The only right answer to that is whatever it takes. A man will go and sell all that he has and buy that one pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ, and sell it not. Sell it not. That simple 7-word scripture is one that we ought to remember every day. My advice, as you know, to you, to every one of you, from this pulpit, and if we're standing toe-to-toe, just talking, my advice to every one of you, always, about everything, is you must hear from God. You need to hear from God, and you need to worship God. And I want to mention this specifically in closing, though it's not directly expository of our text. But in the interest of when you find somebody that by God's grace and power is not a fool in the sense that he preaches the truth of the gospel of Christ, hear him. Hear him wherever he is, whoever he is. The only thing that we need and what we desperately need is to hear from God. And let me say this, because this is very common. When there's a crisis of some kind in your life, when there's trouble, when somebody's sick or whatever it is, somebody's in the hospital, whatever, just anything, a trial. It's the most common thing to disappear from the worship. Very common. And I want you to think about something with me in closing today. When you and your family is in any type of crisis like that, going through a trial, the one thing you need is God. And yet you discontinue the worship of God. I understand when things are going on like that, that there's a lot to do. But the one thing you must do is worship God. You must worship God. You must acknowledge Him in it and bow to Him in it. And by your very presence here, say, God, whatever you do is right. And we're going to bow to you and worship you, whatever you do. That is necessary. That is primary. And yet it's the first thing that goes to the wayside. Don't forget me saying that today, because it'll be you next. God will try your faith and mine. And may He give us the grace in that trial to come and worship Him. Let's pray together.